Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Can you hear me? Good?
All right.
See, every time we, any preacher is coming out here, we are praying that the Holy Spirit will be here, God will be present, and, you know, He's already here. So I'm so at ease because I know there's nothing I can say that He hasn't already said. Let's pray. Lord, we give You honor this evening, Father. We praise You, we honor You, God. You're such a loving God, O King of glory, God. You tell us, God, that You run and hold us with love, that You care so much about us, Lord. And tonight, Father, we came here, Father, knowing that we want to hear from You, Lord. So, Lord, we empty us completely, God. Empty us completely, Lord. And then speak, God. Fill those areas in our life, Jehovah God. We love what we are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So, on your mark, set, ready. Sounds like we are running, right? All right, so we're going to be reading from Daniel 6, 1 to 10. So it's a little bit of a long read, but we'll do our best. So Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. And he appointed officers to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in a way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be to connecting with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and the high official went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governor, that the king should make a law that will strictly enforce, give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone divine or human, except of you, Your Majesty, will be thrown in the den of lions. And now, Your Majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the window open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking God for help. So in this Bible verse, and we always talk about the lion's den and Daniel being put there, this is right before he's caught because of praying three times a day. So we see Daniel here getting unprecedented favor from the king. He's in this foreign land, and God continues to give him favor every single day, and he's made one of the three top guys in the whole empire. So he does his work very, very well. The Bible says that he was always faithful in his dealings, so he was never shady at all. He was always responsible, so whatever he was told to do, he would do it. And then he also says that he was completely trustworthy. Sounds like a really, really good man. So every time the king wanted something, he knew that was the guy to go to. Okay? So the other administrators were not very happy about it. So they decided to get him in trouble so they can get him out of the way. So they are looking for a way to be like, hey, you know what, this guy is just amazing and he's making us definitely look bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to get him out of the way. Then that way we probably will be okay too, because of course he's probably the one who was getting all the praise, right? So and then there was this thing too with the king where he was like, because you are doing such an awesome job, you know, in the empire, I'm actually going to put you on top of everybody else. So not only is he making them look bad, but now he's going to be their leader somewhat. So he's like, I don't really like this. So they decided that the only way was they're gonna get him out of is go and have something that, because they couldn't find any issue. So they thought, you know what, the only way we can do it is if we look at the religion, the thing that he loves most, because he always worshiped God. That's how we're gonna get him. So sometimes I'm just sitting there and say, how long did they take him? They are watching him every single day. They are seeing that Daniel, every day, at least three times a day, he's stopping what he's doing. So in the morning when he wakes up or whatever, he's planning his day that three times a day, he's going to sought God's hand. He's gonna talk to God. And they are watching. So he's getting the benefit of having that good relationship with God. And then the other people are watching and they see, maybe that's why he gets his strength, but they don't really know. But they know there is something connected that is helping him, that's helping him to prosper as much as he is. So they figure, they go to the king and they convince the king, hey, sign this law that says that if anybody worships anything, anybody else or anything divine, that they're going to be put in the lion's den. So the king, and then on top of that, they say that, they tell the king that, this, because you're so amazing, when you sign this law, it cannot be changed by anybody, even yourself. It's kind of shit. It's like, okay, you know. But again, because of his pride, the king, he knows that, hey, they're praising me. Everybody's going to praise me for 30 days, so that's good for me. And so he doesn't think about Daniel because he's the one who's wanting to make Daniel a leader. So he knows that Daniel is good. He knows that Daniel worships God. But at this point, his pride doesn't even let him go see any further than that. He doesn't see that his kingdom is growing and everything is becoming better every day because of Daniel praying to God, and he still says, okay, I'm going to go ahead and sign, and I cannot even change this law, right? So the Bible says that when Daniel heard this, his reaction was very interesting. And I use the word interesting because if I knew, I'm an administrator and I'm in the leadership, and I know that when a law is signed and I don't do what the law says, then I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be thrown in the lion's den. I bet you this wasn't the first time that Daniel had seen people being thrown in the lion's den. So he knew exactly, like, hey, if they sign this law and I don't follow that law, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be put in the lion's den as well. But so knowing that information and knowing very, very well that that's what was going to happen to him, Daniel, knowing all this, he didn't go to the king and try to tell the king, hey, king, listen, all that you have right now is because of the God that I pray to. You shouldn't change anything, because I know that you've said that we cannot change this law, but it doesn't say anything about the three people, you know, the three other guys and all the officials. We can just get rid of them, right? And then that way nobody will ever know. So he can come up with different plans around it. But he didn't do that. He's a smart guy, but he didn't do that. So what he says is, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open to Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. So he gets this information and he goes home. He opens the window so people can see. He knows what's going to happen. Don't forget, he knows that this act of praying is going to get him killed. But he still steps out and he opens the window. Because for me, I'm thinking that man is like, I should have just closed the window. I still pray to God. But him, God is not outside. He's everywhere, right? So, you know, he opens the window because he has a declaration of he's not going to stop proclaiming God. He's not going to stop telling people, this is the God I serve, and I don't care what you guys say. I'm still going to do this. See, Daniel did not do anything different when trouble came knocking. He continued the same routine that he had practiced every day, at least three times a day. During this time, he had learned to be in constant communication with God. He had created a routine where he would call God and God would answer. And he had a good relationship. So even at this point, when all this happened, he just went back to what he was doing because he had always consistently exercised his spiritual muscles. And when time came for testing, he stayed true to his routine. So my question for us today is, when we are faced by trouble, where are we finding our comfort? See, we don't see Daniel running around trying to find a solution. He's not trying to find any other solution. He definitely could have gone out there to speak to his friends. He would have been, hey guys, come pray with me, or come, let's try to figure out, hide me, take me somewhere. He's not trying to do that. All he did was he went back to what he was used to and he prayed to God. See, Daniel knew that his God, whom he had a great and consistent relationship, was going to take care of him. He didn't know how. He just trusted God. He knew, I talk to you every day, at least 3 times a day. I pray to you. We talk. We have a relationship. And you are my dad, and you tell you're going to take care of me. So guess what? A time has come now where they're going to cut my, I'm either going to cut my communication with you, or I'm going to do what I continue to do, and you are going to help me as you've always promised you're going to help. Yes. And so he chose to continue trusting in God and not to cut that communication or that relationship that was there. See, his daily preparation had prepared him for this moment. The situation might have changed, but his eyes were still on God. He was not going to fight this alone. He knew he wasn't going to win. And that's why the Bible says that when they went up, when they found him, they found him worshiping. So he's not crying to God. He's not saying, God, look at where you've put me. I've always prayed you. I've come to church. I've done all these things. I've helped my neighbors. I'm always in Sunday school. I'm doing all this stuff. Oh, Lord, why would you let me get here? But he's like, okay, God, check this out. I've been praying to you. I've been reading about what you've done. I have seen your miracles already. You've done amazing things. And guess what? Today, I get to see another miracle. So he's excited because he's praising God. He's not calling. He's not crying. He's actually like, okay, this is what we've been preparing for. The last miracle, I saw what you did. Guess what? Now there's something else coming, Lord. I'm excited. Let's do this. You know? So we can see him. He's praising. He's not scared at all. So how many of you know that we're in a spiritual race and we need to get ready, and our preparation has to be consistent? Yes. See, our training has to be spot on. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us, and let us run with endurance the race God has set us before. Yes. See, my wife and I were talking, and we were talking about, we always talk about, I'm walking in this race. I'm doing this Christian walk. But the Bible here is telling us that we are on a race. If I'm walking, I don't have to need to prepare myself. I just do that every day. But if we are, the Bible says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set for us. Yes, we are in a race. God has set a race for us. And you need to be prepared. Because if it's just a walk, we do that every day in our daily regulation. But if you know that you're going to be doing a race, your preparation is going to be different. Your diet is going to be different. Your thinking is going to be different. You know, your friends are going to be different, because if you're going to have friends who we're going to hang out with later on, it's like, no, I am going to go and do my part. I'm going to work, and then there's these hours that I've set. You're going to go to bed early because tomorrow morning you have to wake up and do a run. How many of you guys have done a marathon in here? Yeah, so you can say the preparation was interesting, right? See, but it requires discipline, right? So the discipline that Daniel had created by intentionally seeking God, he had created a strong relationship that held him in this moment. It was that consistent that allowed him to be able to face what he was facing. You know, some of us might say, hey, Daniel was facing such a major setback. It's this guy who's in a foreign land, he's been made one of the 3 top guys, and now he's about to be made the top guy, and there comes people who are just hating on him. So it might seem like that, but to him, that did not face him. He knew where his help came from. He went back to his routine. When everything started looking bad, he went back to his prayers. He prayed 3 times a day, like he always did, and he just did the same thing. Nothing changed because he knew where his strength came from. So how many of you guys drove here today? Oh, all of you. Awesome. This would have never worked if you guys didn't drive here, so that's awesome. So think about it. When you got in your car this evening, what did you do? You got in the car, you just thought about it, and you just found yourself here, kind of, almost. Unless, I hope you're not on the phone when you guys were driving. But, some of you, huh? So when you got in the car, you just got in the car, and somehow you drove here, you put the gear, you look at the lights, you did all these amazing things combined, and you just got yourself here. So you didn't get in, you didn't pick up the keys, and then you go to the car, you're like, okay, I'm now here. I'm going to put the key in the ignition. I'm going to fix the side mirrors now, or the back mirror. I'm going to look at side mirrors. Okay, I'm going to put the gear now. I'm going to step on the acceleration. You did not do step by step. You've already done it so many times that you did not have to think about it when you're doing it. There is someone in there. See, the reason you did not do every single little thing is because you have committed this to memory. See, you are using what they call your muscle memory. Yes. That once you've learned to do something and repeat it often, you can just default to it whenever necessary without any pain of relearning it. Same thing as cooking, same thing as dressing. We kind of do the same thing. Because can you think how painful it would be if we had to think every single thing, how are we going to do it? Yes. It would be crazy, right? It would take us for like forever. But see, this muscle memory, it just takes over and it does that. So now you're laughing. How is your spiritual muscle memory this evening? How often are you working it out? How often are you working it out? See, Daniel worked out his spiritual muscle at least 3 times a day. And when trouble came, his spiritual muscle memory kicked in. He did the same thing he was doing. He knelt down, gave thanks to God, just like he had always done. Yes. See, some of us are not committing anything to muscle memory at all. See, if you're not consistent in the word, in prayer, in fasting, see, when you're faced by trouble, you're going to start running in all directions, trying to find a way to be able to cope that because your muscle memory cannot remember how you're supposed to do it. See, we have to practice. See, all this time our practice has to be perfect. So, has to be perfected. So, when time comes, we can just kneel down and pray to God. But sometimes trouble comes and we start running to our friends. Hey, man, I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? Which is good. But what is your first reaction? What's your muscle doing? If you consistently sought God every single day, you'd know that for sure. When that time comes, the very first thing you do is kneel down, praise God, not complain about what's going on, because you've already seen what God has been doing in your life. And then it's another opportunity for you to be able to see God do something else, and you can go and testify to people and tell them of the goodness of God. Right? See, we need to be consistent. We need to exercise daily. Exercise our spiritual muscle. So speaking about exercise, sometimes toward the end of fall, when it was just about to get cold, even my wife, Glenn Peterson, and Brian Brackett, we decided to go hiking. The hike was planned like a month ago, like a month before that time came. And so we were going to go to Mailbox Peak. Have you guys been to Mailbox Peak? Yeah, he said it right. Oh my gosh. So who has been to Mailbox Peak? Okay, just a few of you. So let me educate you guys about Mailbox Peak for those who've never been there, okay? So Mailbox Peak is 9.4 miles route trip. You gain about 4,000 feet elevation. What that means is like 370-story buildings that you're going up. Just for illustration. So I personally know that this is a tough hike because I attempted it, or I went it. So as we got close to hiking the dates, Eva, my wife, would be like, "Hey Kevin, are you exercising?" I'd be like, "Honey, please, I do this every single day. Let me tell you about my childhood, okay? You know." I'd come up with all these excuses, and she'll be consistently be like, "You need to work on it." I'll be like, "No, honey, don't worry, I got this." And so I even went to a point where I would read reviews I would read reviews on the web, and I would see people saying how tough it was and all this stuff, and I would be like, I'll just dismiss those, and I'll be like, that's only those people. Ma, I'm tough, you know. I'm Kenyan, I got this, right? It's a different story. So the day came when we went out hiking. Glenn, Eva, and I started hiking together. My friend Brian Brockett over there, he's a little bit off because he decided to run up the hill. So we're going to talk about his preparation another day, another sermon. So not today. We're just going to concentrate Eva, Glenn, and I, just people who kind of walked, okay? So we started over. It was really, really good. You know, hey, we are. It's mailbox speak. We've been waiting. I think Eva and I waited to do this hike for almost a year or something like that, right? And so we were like, finally, we're here. We are awesome. You got your drinks. You got your little food. You're good. You're ready. I just need to get hydrated. That's what I kept telling myself. Just get hydrated. One step at a time is going to be awesome. I'm going to take a picture when I get up there, you know, a selfie. It was perfect. Like, I had all these ideas in my head, right? And so we started walking. And about mile two, things started happening. Okay. So I knew I was in trouble. I could see Glenn and Eva. They're now like a little steps away from here. Eva would turn, honey, are you okay? I'll be like, you know? Glenn would be like, yeah, buddy, come on, we got this. And I'm like, so we kept going. And I started fighting. And as I kept fighting, the words that Eva had told me started ringing in my head. Honey, have you been prepared? You need to walk out. You need to run. What did you do last? The reviews that I had read start coming in. And I'm sitting, I'm like, yeah, I think she was right. Yeah, I think he was right. But I could remember, I could hear Eva asking me, are you ready? And now in the middle of my race, my preparation or lack of preparation was failing me. I kept thinking, man, if only I had prepared better. Yes. If only I had taken the time to listen. Yes. If only I had taken the time to listen, yes, to what the people who have gone have done. Or the people who have read about it. But I didn't. See, I kept pushing. And occasionally I would stop and I would hydrate myself. But that wasn't enough. So I had some Skittles. Taste the rainbow, right? And I would pop in the Skittles and it would give me a burst of energy for a few minutes. And then I would start going because it's sugar. I'll start walking. But then like 2 minutes later, I'll be back to the same thing. See, this is what happened to the church now. We've heard, we've read, we've heard from our preachers here every single day. They tell us about the things that we need to be prepared for. We read about all our brothers and sisters all over the world, how they're getting persecuted. Yeah. But we only say it's for those people. Kind of the same thing I did for my reviews. It's for those people. It never gets to me. Right? But see, we need to be more prepared, especially in our country right now, where our walk with God is getting tested and they're trying to take God out of our place, but out of our everywhere. We need to be more prepared. How is your preparation or lack of it today? See, Sunday, Wednesday, that's kind of getting your snack, your Skittles. You taste the rainbow over here. You come in and Pastor Matt preaches, or Pastor Jay, Pastor Crystal, you know, we preach and it's good, man. That was good, Pastor. That was good, Pastor. That was good. You praise, we raise our hands, we are great. But then Monday comes. And we take a few steps. Monday evening, we are crashing. The sugar is gone. Because all throughout the week, we have not been preparing. David knelt, he went to his room 3 times a day, at least 3 times a day. And he prayed. He prayed. So if he met with the other brothers and worshiped with them, that was the snack. But his main meal was the preparation every single day. See, I was speaking to Brian after he went up and came down. And he said something interesting. He said, if you know that you'll be doing a continuous exercise for more than 1.5 hours, you need to eat something every 30 minutes to give yourself energy. He said that eating at that moment when I was struggling would not give me enough strength. And I needed to have my body was going to take at least 30 minutes for that food to be converted to energy. So me eating at that point was nothing because my body was already shutting down. See, today's message or last Sunday message might not be enough. You might be needing more than a snack to fight whatever is on your way today or tomorrow. We have to consistently eat. Whatever you're facing now or tomorrow, might need the energy that's stored up over time. See, the prayers we offered last week, last month, last year, might be what is propelling you through the troubles that you are in right now, giving you the strength to overcome whatever you have today. And today's food might not be sufficient for today or tomorrow. We need to work a little harder. We have to be consistent. Joshua 1:8 says, study the book of instruction continuously. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written on it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Remember, we are in a race. And if you want to succeed in a race, it says meditate on it day and night. So you will sure to obey the things that are written. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So in other words, it's saying you cannot prosper or succeed unless you meditate on the word day and night. See, spend time reading the word of God, praying, worshiping him for his goodness. You know, fasting, we cannot let our spiritual tank run empty. See, days before the law was signed, David did not know that he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. But he knew that his strength and everything he did came from the Lord. So he made an effort to consistently seek him. So David did not know that he was going to, you know, before the law, he had people talk, but even before the law was signed, he didn't really know that this time was going to come. But what he knew, he didn't focus on the things that are going to come. Same thing with our Christianity. We don't know what's going to come tomorrow. And we cannot focus on those things. We're going to focus on where we are, seeking God every single day. So when those things do end up coming, then we can just default to God and continue to do what we do every single day. Right? So back to the hike. So I'm pushing. Glenn and Eva are graciously waiting for me. You know, they're like, hey, okay, we'll wait for you. I'll take the water. We'll hang out a little bit. I'll look up and I'll just look around. I'll be like, okay, I'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing. But I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. And we kept going. And so, if you've ever been to Mailbox Peak, well, let me back up a little bit. If you've ever been most hikes, the minute you go up and the trees start clearing up, you know you're coming to the peak. Oh, yeah. You're almost there. Yeah. Right? You're almost there. It's not that with Mailbox. It's a bad joke. So, we are coming over here, and I can see the trees over there. They are clearing, and I'm like, yes, this is it. I'm like, Eva has nothing to say because I'm going to be done. I'm going to be like, success, right? I'm going to make it. But we get over there, and just when you get to the top, it opens up, and you're looking at a mountain of rocks. Okay? You are looking at a mountain of rocks. I'm talking about like 100 switchbacks. If you don't know what switchbacks are, it's like instead of going this way, you're going this way. So they are evil. They are really evil. Because they give you the assumption that you're not hiking up, but you're actually doing this. And now instead of like maybe a quarter of a mile, you're going 2 miles this way. So think about it. So Mailbox Peak, we are coming to that part, and I don't have any energy. I am done. I'm like almost crawling up there. And I'm thinking in my mind that we are done. And then there is a whole mile that's over there. I'm like, man, this is crazy. So I got up there and I started going up. And I got to a point where this place was different. And hear me about this. This place was very, very different. As we came up the first couple of miles, it's shielded. There's trees, they are shielding us. It's kind of calm. There isn't like a lot of wind. So it's comfortable. Life is good here. You know, I can stop. I can start looking. I can be able to stop and rest for a little bit. But as we get up and I get a little bit closer, you get to that opening and all you see is rocks. And then the wind is like 10 times as much as it was down there. Then it starts raining at the same time. Then there was hail at the same time. Okay? And so I started going up a little bit and I got to a point and my hands are freezing. I can't feel them. I'm so tired and I felt faint for a minute. And I knew I had to stop. I think Brian talked me into it, but that's a whole new story. So I stopped and I finally gave up. So from where I sat, I could see the end of the peak. I was so close. I had done 4.4 miles out of the 4.4 miles all the way. And I was 0.3 miles away from the end. I had done 3,800 elevation feet. And because of the wind, the rocks, and the rain, the hail, it made my hike just come to a stop. Those that had been prepared went on and they were able to reach the peak. And as I sat there waiting for them to get back, all I could think was, I wish I had done more when I had a chance. How can I come this far? 4.4 miles of waste now. I had come this far that I didn't really make it. After all that energy, after all that, if only I had listened, if only I had prepared. And see, this is what, unfortunately, some of us Christians we're going to face. We come to church every single day. We pray, we hang out with our friends, we worship. But we have not been exercising our spiritual muscle, our heart, spending time with God every single day. And we're going to get to a point where it's going to open up and we are not shielded by those things that shielded us. And we are not going to be able to make it. And we're going to come so close, 0.3 miles close. After all this life, just because we did not take the time to exercise the right muscle. See, our walk is getting tougher as Christians. You guys, if you watch the news or anything like that, you know it's getting tougher. We are in that time of our lives where we are now in the exposed part. Before, the government, the organization, they shielded us. You know, there was Christianity everywhere. But now, they're like you on their own. You're in a place where it's open now. The rocks, the wind, the storm. But yet we are so close. And that's why we are not getting shielded, because we are almost getting to the peak. See, I know you're thinking, it's part of poor Kevin. I wish you got it. But actually, I was so grateful when I got this, because what if this was my spiritual walk? See, I've been walking with God every single day. I've been praying. I'm praying with my family. But then I've been coming to church. I've been preaching and all this. But then I've been forgetting the most important part of my path, that close relationship with God. And we can never have a close relationship with God unless we are consistently speaking and talking and hanging out. That all these other stuff are good. They are all good stuff. But this is not what is going to propel you for the next 0.3 miles. The 4.4 could have been easy because of the things, you know, the relationship with your brothers and sisters, the word that you get from the preachers here. But the 0.3 is going to require God holding you every single day, walking with you. And he's not going to hold you and walk with you because he's not going to know your weaknesses or the places that you need because you're not spending time with him. And you cannot rely. I could not have relied on my wife. She would never have carried me. I love her so dearly and she loves me. And I know I could see the look on her face like, man, honey, I wish you can make it. But I could not rely on it. The same thing, you know, we can't rely on our brothers and sisters at that point. It's our walk. It's a together walk. But we still have to carry our weight. Everybody has to carry their weight. See, finally, when Eva and Glenn came down, she said something to me that I will never forget. I think it could be then, or as we walk down, one of them, after I kind of almost halfway regained consciousness. She said, I thought you were behind me. But when I look back, I didn't see you. We waited for you up there. And after a while, I realized that you did not make it. I thought you were behind me. But when I looked back, I didn't see you. We waited for you up there. And after a while, I realized you did not make it. I look at you guys here with love. And we look at each other with love. We encourage each other every day. But again, we are in a race. And some of us are going to get there faster than others. But the question is, when they look back, and they're going to wait for you because they love you. They're going to wait for you. Your family is going to wait for you. Your mom, your sister, your brother, your kids are going to wait for you. Your wife is going to wait for you. Your husband is going to wait for you. The question is, are they going to say, come on, let's go? Or are they going to say, I realize that you didn't make it? See, as I close, it says, it's not too late yet. Today is day one. On your mark, set, ready, go. Let us be more prepared. Let us be completely prepared. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you, God. We thank you that you are good, good, good Father, Lord. That you hold our hands, O King of Glory, God, and you know our hearts, God. You see our desires, Lord. That Jehovah God, you carry us when you see that attempt of us walking close towards you, Jesus. And I thank you, Father, because your word, Father, has spoken directly and personally and individually to everybody, O King of Glory, God. Lord, give us the strength, Father, to create that relationship every single day, Lord, with you, Lord. That Jehovah God, in this race that you've set before us, Lord, that we can be able to run and win, God, and be there, God, that our endurance will be because of the time that we spend together, Lord. As we step out, God, and as we go out today, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you hold our hands, O King of Glory, God. That your Holy Spirit will just wrap us around and just carry us and show us the way to be able to create a better relationship with you, Jesus. We love you and we adore you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, have a good night, and don't forget your kids. And I'll see you guys on Sunday.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.